Okay, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our next program, Let the Universe Be Your Guide, Using the Laws of Attraction to Get Major Media Coverage with Marilyn Janae. Let me tell you a little bit about Marilyn. Marilyn is a renowned prosperity mentor with an international following. She is also an accomplished businesswoman and owner of the company Marilyn Janae Locations, that's MarilynJaneLocations.com, that served the corporate arena for 20 years. Her achievements in the business world were the result of prosperity principles she now teaches in her Feel Free to Prosper program. With no publicist, PR, or marketing resources, and using only her prosperity principles and the universe as her publicist, Marilyn manifested a cover feature story in the Los Angeles Times that attracted thousands of telephone calls for years and syndication around the world via Associated Press. This was followed by local and national primetime television segments and continuing media exposure, including the first article she ever wrote that grossed $250,000 for her business. Marilyn founded the Feel Free to Prosper program to mentor and teach others to become aligned with universal laws and accept their rights to prosper. Her students from around the globe and from all walks of life are enjoying remarkable success, applying her lessons and participating in her private and group sessions, teleclasses, and audio programs. Visit her website at Feel Free to Prosper and her network forum at prosper-network.rise.com. Her fascinating memoir, Feel Free to Prosper, an entrepreneurial memoir of synchronicity and guidance, attracted an agent and will soon be published. It can be read free on her forum until the book's released. Welcome, Marilyn.
Well, thank you, Heidi. Thank you for having me back at one of your summits. It's an honor.
Oh, I am so delighted. For those of you who don't know, Marilyn has been on our show before. She was a special guest during the Women's Writing and Publishing Summit and a very successful and I would say popular session that Marilyn gave, very similar in as far as the laws of attraction. So I'm just delighted to have Marilyn back with us. So Marilyn, can you describe your media journey? How did that first media opportunity present itself?
Okay, so you're ready to hear about that first one, the one that
I
started
am.
It all? Well, I had been studying these prosperity principles altogether now probably about 30 years, but back then I had been studying them for years, and around that time I had gotten pretty serious about it. I had decided it's time to not only, it's not about study, it's about applying. One of my great teachers, Dr. Joseph Murphy, used to say, do the homework and you'll get the results. And I decided at that age, at that time in my life, I wanted to make a statement. I wanted success, I wanted recognition, I wanted the financial rewards, and I wanted to make a statement. So I started really applying the principles that I had learned, and I went to the task, and I did attract. I was guided through a series of events to this industry that I didn't even know existed, the special events industry. And you can read about the details of how those doors opened and how I started in the business in my memoir. If you go to the forum, it's free to read. You could read those details. But I'm going to start now when I had decided to carve a niche in the industry. And I had the signposts. The signposts were given to me, and I decided to start a location company for parties and events, special events. And at that time, I knew that to carve out that niche and to really make the statement, I would need to gain an audience. I would need to become renowned so that I can attract the kind of clients I wanted, and to also to stand out from the many really wonderful large special event companies in Los Angeles. I mean, this is a big city. There's a lot of entertaining. It's a big convention city, but I was determined to have my special niche. And I had a New Year's Eve party. I had been doing booking locations for clients and coordinating the events, and I had a New Year's Eve party that year. And I came home from the party pretty weary, very tired. It was about 3 in the morning, and logic would say it was time to go to sleep. But there was something in me that prompted me. It was a compulsion, something I had to do. And I felt really strongly guided to sit down at the typewriter and write a letter. Now, please keep in mind that I had no idea that I would ever be teaching universal laws or that I would be writing or telling you of this experience years later. But at this time, I'm relying on the memories that surface. So the only thing I remember from that letter, I didn't save the letter, the one sentence that stands out in memory was something to the effect of, I seem to have become the source for party and event locations in Los Angeles. Sorry if my voice is still a little raspy from last week. Do I sound okay, Heidi?
You sound great.
Good. Okay, because I'm a little hoarse here. So the sentence that I remember was, I seem to have become the, capital T-H-E, the source for party and event locations in Los Angeles. Now, I had thought of this idea for as a location company for events. It was a brand new idea and concept. But when you think about Los Angeles, my event planning efforts may have seemed relatively insignificant in the marketplace compared to the numerous large and established companies. And yet, in writing that letter, in present tense, I was claiming myself to be an expert and top source in the city. In fact, I was not being untruthful because no one else was operating as a source for party locations. Therefore, in my mind, I was the source. I was the only source, so that made me the source. That was my logic. But let's put the logic and the rationalization aside, because this is the important part. From the standpoint of pure spiritual law, I was accepting in my consciousness at that moment that I, in the now moment, was the expert and exclusive source for locations for parties and events. I was claiming my good, and I was stamping my claim in my subconscious mind and in universal mind. So I truly was at that very moment in time, in thought and feeling, the source for party and event locations in Los Angeles. I wasn't pretending that I was. I wasn't wishing that I was. I felt it in my heart. I had become it, and I accepted it in consciousness. In my mind, my way of thinking, I found a need, and I was filling it. At the same time, I was creating a niche that would distinguish me in the industry. Now, keep in mind that there was no computer back then. There was just a small typewriter. There was no professional-looking stationery. In fact, my letterhead was kind of airy fairy. It had Pegasus on it, and it was creative. And I liked being different, and I was in a creative business, so I used that as my stationery at the time. I didn't even have a business name picked out. That came later. There was no publicist. There was no PR person, no marketing professional, no media contacts, no education, no knowledge on how to get media attention. I don't even think I knew what a press release or a marketing letter looked like. So the letter I sat down to write served none of those purposes. It was a simple letter with a few paragraphs stating what I was doing, and the words just flowed. I had no hesitation. There was no second guessing. There was no fear. There was no wondering if it would work. There was only a faith and a trust in the prompting, that inner prompting that was instructing me to write the letter. So now you're wondering, okay, I'm writing a letter. To whom was I sending such an assertive letter, an audacious letter? Well, the simple letter was signed, it was stamped, and I mailed it to the Los Angeles Times. And I don't recall addressing it to any specific department. It could have been editorial or maybe to whom it may concern, but off it went. And I had to ask myself, who was I to make such a claim to one of the largest newspapers in the world? And the answer would be, I was a child of the universe. That's it. That's what I was going on. That's where my trust and my faith was. So that's what I did at 3 o'clock that New Year's Eve morning.
Wow.
Now, there was no doubt in my mind that I was to mail that letter to the Los Angeles Times. My rational mind could have easily discounted the possibility that any editor would ever see it. Okay? But I sent it, I released it, and this is kind of important. I forgot about it. I didn't realize until much later, years later, looking back, that I actually was using a very important prosperity principle, spiritual principle, right there was the principle of release. Being able to release our desire, we take a certain action, and then we release it to the universe. We release it to that intelligence, to that wisdom that knows the how to bring about the fulfillment of our desire. So I had forgotten about it. Normally in the first quarter of the year, the events business is slow. It's relatively slow. So I concentrated on cultivating some new business. Did some events and went about my business. And then in late February, I got the call. A woman named Betty Goodwin called me. She was a staff writer at the Los Angeles Times. She said that my letter had floated around to all the departments. This was kind of funny. It had floated around to all the departments of the newspaper for a while, and finally landed in hers. And her editor had told her to check it out. So we spoke on the phone for a while, and she said, well, if there's any interest, we'll get back to you. And yes, she did call back a few days later, and she said, can we meet for an interview? And we did. And then she had scheduled for photographs, and we took the pictures up at the top of Beverly Hills at the Dutch Castle, a spectacular location overlooking the city. And they told me later on when the article would appear. Now, this is very interesting. It was to appear on Friday the 13th. But I couldn't wait. I had researched to find out when the newsstands received the early editions. And in the wee hours, I was at that local newsstand looking for my article. And this is what was so interesting. Normally, the papers are folded so that the main news section is on top. We all know that. But that day, the newspaper, the Los Angeles Times, probably the second largest newspaper in the nation, had made a mistake. They folded the papers so that the view section was on top, and I was the feature cover story, the headline story in view.
Wow.
So there I was, right at the top of the paper in full glory. And later on, when I had my paper delivered at home, same thing. I was staring up at myself from my doorstep, and then everyone later told me the same thing. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So I guess you might say I had made a statement. I made my statement. Well, the newspaper hit the stands. I had thousands of phone calls. The phone was ringing off the hook for a long time. And this went on for, well, the calls were coming quite consecutive calls. Oh, I'm trying to remember, but I think it was a good year. Even a couple of years later, I mean, for years I got calls, but it slowed down after a while. But about 2 years later, I was getting calls. And what astonished people was that they had called the Los Angeles Times. Now, many people save clippings. Some people don't. But then they may have the need for a service later on. Well, many people called the Times. They remembered the concept. And they'd ask the operator, I'm trying to find the woman who rents locations for events. Now, normally a newspaper will send you to their research department. In this case, though, the operator just rattled off my phone number. And that's what startled people. What had happened was I had had so many calls from that article that they had taped my phone number to the switchboard. And by then, every operator knew my phone number by heart.
Wow.
And that was it.
I'm stunned.
That put me on the map.
Well, you know what? What's interesting in your brief description of what happened is that, you know, yesterday I had the opportunity to interview Paul Hartunian, the publicity junkie and milliondollarpublicity.com and all of that. And he says the number one thing you have to do is claim your title in getting publicity. And, you know, Marilyn, you just said that. You didn't even know that. But obviously, intuitively, you knew that. You had to claim your title. He said you have to believe it. You have to feel it. You have to know it's true. It has to be true, but you have to claim your title. And it has to be something that yes, if someone wanted to challenge you, they might. Chances are that no one would. Especially being that you were, at that time, the premier event planning company, obviously.
Not event planning. No, not the premier. Not the premier event planning company. The only location company for events. There's a big difference.
And production, excuse me. The special event locations and production company.
But see, the production, that all came later, Heidi. What you're reading is what came later. Remember, I was just coordinating parties at the time, and I was very small compared to the large companies. I was not a leading event planning company at the time at all.
You were getting locations for people.
No, I was actually coordinating parties.
Okay.
But then I had this idea. I had the idea for the location company. I'm only distinguishing it so people don't get confused.
Okay,
I was not a major event planning company. It was a relatively new business. I had found my talents. The universe had handed me a business that was aligned with my talents, but I had pretty much just started out. There were companies that had been in, that were major companies that had been in business for years. So no, we can't claim that I was a major company. I was the little fish. But my idea for the location company was my ticket to be the bigger fish. The universe knew, that wisdom knew, there was a way for me to shine in the industry.
That's wonderful. And obviously it did. So what did you do next when you got all that publicity and all these wonderful things started happening, Marilyn?
Well, it snowballed. So from that Times article, the Los Angeles Herald Examiner picked up the article. That was the city's second largest newspaper. They did a feature story, Santa Monica Outlook. And then I started getting phone calls from newspapers all over the country. It turned out that Associated Press had picked up the story and wired it internationally. So now all of the nation's papers were calling me for more photos. They all wanted to do feature photo articles. I got telephone calls from publications in Europe that wanted interviews. Radio stations wanted interviews. And as if that wasn't enough, suddenly television came. PM Magazine, PM Magazine National, ABC Newscope, Two on the Town. Oprah was not on the air then, or I'm sure Oprah would have been next. And suddenly there was all of this media coverage from that one article, from that one letter that I wrote at 3 o'clock in the morning on a New Year's Eve. This is what happened.
So,
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And it just kept evolving, and the publicity was there. Then it started the business publication. Century City News did a feature cover story, Union Bank, then trade publications, Meeting News. It seemed like I had just turned myself into like an organic publicity machine. When I look back, it's really amazing looking back at it. You know, knowing more about publicity to today, knowing what it entails, I think that the universe smiled on me.
I was going to say, so basically all of this happened from that one letter, and you
mm-hmm.
didn't do anything else to
mm-hmm.
garner any of that other publicity. It just started coming in from that one letter.
Yeah, I didn't make any calls. I don't remember ever calling anyone about publicity. I did find out that what happens is when you do get a feature story, and I suppose today it's the same way, there's everyone wants to get on the bandwagon, and everybody else picks up the story. So I think they just kind of, all of the media just kind of copies when there's something that hits, something with a good hook. And remember, I was a product of the 80s. This was before 9/11. This was the time, you know, big spending and renting the Dallas house for a party and a lot of the things. I think our consciousness has changed as far as those things these days, but I don't know if that would have happened in the 90s or in this century. But back then, it was a hook, and the media loved it.
Well, and you've given some great tips already, not only about the laws of attraction, but how, you know, you talked about, you know, you knew what you wanted. You had this vision. You talk about, you know, creating the right hook. You intuitively
mm-hmm.
knew that. How the media tends to gravitate toward media. Let's face it, media does that. Media, if they see good news or bad news, everybody jumps on that bandwagon and everybody starts covering it. And so that's a great tip for anybody that, you know, to capitalize on the media that you get by, you know, making sure that somehow you're in the right place at the right time and available and all of those things that help to create that snowball effect that you're talking about.
Now, you said something. Oh, were you saying it? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You said being in the right place at the right time. Can I elaborate on that just a moment?
Sure.
The place I was in was my home. I didn't have an office at the time. The time, obviously my timing must have been good. I actually tuned into the pulse of an industry. There was a need in an industry that I was in that had not been fulfilled or filled, and I did. But the right place and the right time, I'd like to relate that to our consciousness. The right place in our consciousness and the right time is always now. Now, this is for people who are new to the understanding of universal laws, that might seem a bit profound, but it's being in the right place in your mind and in your feeling nature at the only moment there is in time, and that's now. And it's back to what Paul, I can't wait to hear his interview, by the way, back to what you noted about his interview is claiming yourself, but you're claiming yourself in the present moment. And if you, what you think and feel in this moment now is your future. So whatever it is that you want to create in your life, you need to be in that place, the right place in the right time. Be there now. Be in that place right now. I'm going to use that, I think, Heidi, for my teachings in the future.
Feel free.
I'm going to give you credit on inspiring that. But as far as being in the right place at the right time, yeah, that's because that reminds me that, yes, the right place doesn't necessarily mean out there. If you're in the right place in consciousness, it will come to you. I said this last time we did an interview, and I'll just repeat it because this is going over the next 20 years. In 20 years, I was this little one-woman operation in Los Angeles, and yet I attracted the largest corporations in the world as clients. And I never cold called. I never advertised. I never marketed. I didn't network. They came to me. But my action was being in the right place in my thought and feeling nature. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
That's
and
what
you have
we
to
mean.
Believe in yourself, obviously. You know, you have to believe that that what you're doing is the right thing at the right time. Obviously, that whole law of attraction kind of kicks in. That's it. When everything is in alignment, the laws of attraction work.
And you don't always have to know exactly what it is. Just like if you read in my story, my memoir about this business finding me or my getting into the events business, it wasn't that I even knew what I wanted. I was looking for direction back then. And law of attraction suggests that you know what you want and you visualize and you image and you affirm, and all of that is part of the process. Okay, it's all very valid, but I think I go a step beyond that. In my teachings and my philosophy, I don't think it's all about just laws of attraction with regard to us creating something. I think more important, the most important component of learning these universal laws, of learning how to create what you want in life, is opening that pipeline and that connection to that infinite source of wisdom, whatever you call it, God, divine mind, infinite intelligence, quantum field, whatever that creative presence is. If you can create your connection through your subconscious, through your mind and feelings, it will show you, it will give you things and bring you places that you would never imagine. And I think that's really what has happened to me over these decades. That I was able to tune into the guidance that brought me to the right place in the right time or the right situation at the right time. And many times, yes, we are visualizing, we are creating. If you already know what you want, of course, you can use imagery, visualization, feeling, thought and feeling, use these prosperity principles to create what you want in alignment with your desires. But it's also important to be able to to know what you want and then let the universe take over. It knows the how. You don't have to be concerned with the how. It will bring you the right publicist, the right PR, the right guidance, the right prompting, like I had to write the letter. Make that connection. That's what I would advise. Very important.
I would totally agree, Marilyn. So can you give us a couple of other examples of how you use the principles of prosperity to get exposure for your company?
Well, okay, let's skip to another kind of media exposure. This initial exposure, the coverage I had, and ongoing, was about me, about my company. But then let's skip over to the early 90s. When we were in recession, the country was in recession. Oh, and here in Los Angeles, we had our own local problem. We had the Los Angeles riots. Remember the Rodney King riots?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the special event industry depends on people coming in for corporate clients coming in for conventions, meetings, and conventions. So, needless to say, that really impacted business coming to Los Angeles. So, I knew I had to really drum up some new business. You'll find that when you do tune into these principles, when you learn these laws and you learn how to use them, you no longer buy into mass mind thinking. I don't care what the statistics are or what the economy is or the condition of the world. I have a favorite saying that one with God is a majority. So if you understand how this works, how these laws work, you don't pay attention to that because you know what your true source of supply is. What is your source and your source of success and of money and of supply and of clients? So I got back to the drawing board. I said, boy, we're going to just get more so when everybody's talking about doom and gloom. That's when you really need to ignore it and you go back to your prosperity work. And you know what you're claiming. They have nothing to do with what you're claiming personally. So I did it. I did some more homework. I was always doing the homework, but sometimes you just get a little more adamant about it. And then one day, out of the blue, the Los Angeles Business Journal called me for advertising. And I remember the woman's name. Her name was Eva Mars. And I explained to her that I don't advertise. I never advertised. And just for, you know, to this day, it just seems so remarkable that I said this. And I said to her, she said this was a supplement to the Los Angeles Business Journal, a meetings and convention supplement that was going to also be sent out of state to a couple of other states. And I said to her, do you accept articles from outside writers? Now, you have to understand that I had never written anything in my life. And when I said it, I shocked myself. But it was almost as if, again, I was possessed by this prompting. Something, my intuition just kicked in. I just said it. I didn't think about it. It just came out. There was no one else in the room with me at the time, so I know I said it. And she said, well, I'm in sales. You'll have to call editorial, but, you know, you could call them and find out. And I did. And I found out that, yes, I could submit something. And back then it was 3.5-inch floppy, you know, and then a hard copy, double-spaced, and no promises. You know, they'll take a look at it and see if they can use it. And I sat down and I wrote an article called called Unique Venues for Offsite Events. And again, I had never written anything before, but I just sat down, and just like I wrote that letter to the Times, I probably asked the universe for guidance, asked my inner wisdom, higher wisdom to come into play here. And I wrote an article, and I painted word pictures about all of the exciting venues we have here in Los Angeles for meeting planners. I didn't even name the venues. I never talked about myself in the article. I didn't mention my company. I just painted. I think of it more like advertorial, you know, sales style, but I wanted to be clever, and I did my best at the end. When it was published, they did publish it, and later on, at the end, it had the byline. That was the only thing that people would recognize, that, you know, the author of the article was Marilyn Janae, is the owner of Marilyn Janae Locations with offices in Los Angeles. There were no URLs, no phone numbers. The Business Journal didn't do that. It was just the name of the company. Well, they did publish it, and it was published in, that was September 93. And it ended up, the first call I had was from a woman in Lake Success, New York. And she was the meeting planner for the World Congresses of Gastroenterology. And for the first time in 45 years, they were having their Congress here in Los Angeles, their convention here in Los Angeles that following year. And she contracted me to do several events. And I had a few other calls. And that article, the first article I ever wrote, I grossed $250,000 to my company from it.
Wow.
That was it. And I realized, the more important thing here is I realized that there is another kind of publicity. I was maturing into the business. I was growing. And there was the kind of exposure and publicity that really relies on your expertise. It's not about your creative idea or what you're doing as far as the media is concerned. It's a different kind of exposure. It's coming from you. It's not about you. It's from you. And see, now this all seems so common with the internet and everything I've learned just the 4 years that I've been on the internet. We all know a lot of this. Back then, I didn't know any of this. It was all instinctive. And that was really a great coup. I realized that I had the power. We have the power in the written word to sell ourselves and to draw business. And we don't always have to be talking about ourselves. If we give something of value, if we offer something of expertise, that some and someone will either use that expertise or someone will say, she's the one I want to call. I don't want to do all that. I'll let her do it. So it was really mind-opening.
And another thing that Paul said, and other people, many of the media experts that we've had have said exactly the same thing. Give them what they want, not what you think they want, and tell them the things that they need to know. They don't need to know about you per se and all the awards and stuff that you've done and things that you've won and all of that. They can find that on your website if they want. What they want and what people are looking for is something to help them do something or better in their lives or be something or whatever it happens to be. And so you obviously intuitively wrote that article and did exactly that for the people reading it, and they said, wow, this is just what I'm looking for. I mean, Marilyn, if you think about it, $250,000 is not, it's not chump change. It's that's a lot of money, especially to a smaller or mid-sized business. So
yeah.
that's fantastic.
The profit wasn't bad either. That was the growth.
So tell me, what mistakes did you make, and what did you learn from them? What mistakes, if any, did you make, and what did you learn from them?
That's interesting that you would add the if any. I honestly can't think of, I mean, there were times in business that we had the earthquake and the riots and things happening where I would say, yes, I could have used my prosperity principles maybe a little more in a different way. But when it comes to the media exposure, if you're talking about relating to media and this attention, I'm so grateful for all of it that happened. How even if I did something wrong, I would not even have remembered it because everything was so wonderful the way it unfolded. I wouldn't overshadow it or want to criticize any of it. I sometimes read about people that have had exposure in the media, and they said they shouldn't have said that to the reporter or the interviewer, or they were misquoted. You know, I never had any of that. I have not one criticism or complaint about everything that happened for me. It was like automatic pilot, and I credit it totally to my connection to that universal mind that knew exactly what it was doing. That's why I say the universe is my publicist, a good publicist.
It knew what
to do. And if there was something that would have not worked out, I don't think I would have been led in that direction. I would have avoided it. So maybe after the call I'll think of something, but no, I can't think of any mistakes with regard to the evolution of the publicity.
So then would it be safe to say that you wouldn't do anything differently?
Now that's another story. I would have highlighted my hair. Probably gone lighter, as I am today. I look so dark. My hair was dark, but in the photographs, my hair always looks so dark. I probably would have learned a little bit about, hair and media and things like that. No, I would not have done anything differently then. Now, I'm not saying we should not use publicists, media people, experts, and learn about this. That's not what I'm saying. Absolutely. We should use them. At that point in time, it wasn't my journey back then. But using these same principles, learning the laws, learning how to use your mind, learning to tune in the way we've been talking about, you'll attract the right media person. You'll attract the right experts to help you. That's the whole point. We're not eliminating any possibilities here. We're opening our minds and our spirits to all possibilities. But at that point in time, back then, I didn't think of hiring anybody. I didn't need it. I felt, I'm on a magic carpet ride.
Well, and you know, some people are just good at that, and other people would rather do something else. And so I think that's great advice that you give, that it depends. I mean, some people want to be their own publicist or their own media person or their own marketer, and there are other people who would prefer to leave that to people who do that best, and they do what they do best, and that's fine too. So I think it's good that people do stay open to both possibilities or any possibilities. So well, I have another question, though. You know that most people attending the Women's Media Summit and listening to this audio program afterwards are going to want to know how to achieve similar results. What advice do you have for them, Marilyn?
Well, I've given you a taste of the ability of infinite intelligence to respond to our desires when we know how to ask in the right way, and just as importantly, to accept in the right way. I didn't beg this intelligence to give me recognition, and I didn't wish that I could have it. I didn't read and study and learn about media coverage, as we know. I didn't hire anyone. But I did read and study and learn how to get a prosperity consciousness. Okay? So I think it's important that we learn how it works, how life works, how these laws work. I use the same prosperity techniques that I teach others today. I use them to instill in my subconscious mind that I already had success and recognition. I accepted success and recognition as a fact of life, my mental life, before it happened in physical life. So what I actually did and what I suggest that anyone do is to gently plant the seeds in the subconscious soil, water these seeds with faith and expectancy, and then wait patiently and quietly for the response to bloom. And that's find out how this works. Learn the laws. I would love for you to learn the laws from me, my prosperity programs, but learn them from someone. If not from me, learn them from the right literature, learn them from the right teacher. Educate yourself, just like you would educate yourself in media, which I'm doing more now, by the way, with Feel Free to Prosper. I'm attending the summit as well as speaking because I want to learn more about how it all works formally, too, because in this phase of my life, I may want to use more of these experts. But the point is, learn how your mind works. Learn how these laws work. No matter what route you take, that is the foundation of life. You can have all the sales, marketing, business know-how in the world. You'll still not become successful if you don't have the foundation, which is the mindset.
What's that saying? Believe it and you will achieve it. That's always been one of my mottos. So obviously it's true.
And learn how to acquire the belief. Learn how to acquire that belief in the subconscious, in the deeper levels of your, it's the core beliefs, not just what you, I always relate these laws to the, my students love this, it's an analogy, but think of the conscious mind as the husband, the lover, the husband, and the subconscious as the female receptive aspect of mind. And the husband impregnates the wife with a new seed, with a new thought, a new seed idea. And once the wife, the subconscious, becomes impregnated, children are born. And those children are your answered prayers. So we have to learn how to match our conscious desire with the subconscious acceptance. When they both agree, when the conscious mind and the subconscious mind both agree on an idea, there's nothing you can do to prevent it. It will happen. That baby will be born. And that's it. I had a conscious idea, and I had convinced my subconscious of my success and recognition. I use these techniques. There are many techniques. When I say techniques, I'm not being evasive. Just there are many techniques, and people that take my program learn lots of techniques. We learn how to instill that desire that we want consciously into the deeper levels of mind, and that's our conduit to universal mind. And once we connect with universal mind, it has to happen. The same laws that produce a baby or produce a tree or a plant produce your desire.
It's very interesting. And you know what I find, and I think I liken this to athletes and any person who achieves greatness in their lives, they have to visualize it first. I really believe that. When you talk to athletes and they say, I imagined myself making that goal, they saw it happen before it ever happened. Mm-hmm. Especially those really impossible ones or the ones that nobody believed could happen because they believed in themselves and they believed in those universal laws, whether they even knew what it was that subconsciously that they were doing or believing, they did. They were practicing those.
Mm-hmm. And many of them practice their actual craft in their mind over and over and over again before the Olympics or before tournaments. I would like to address just something you said triggered something to some people who can't visualize very well. I would like to state this so you'll feel a lot better if you find that you don't visualize well. There is a percentage of the population, I think it's a 20% maybe, that cannot visualize. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way your mind, your brain is. And that's okay, because you don't have to really visualize it. You can feel it. As long as you feel it, it's probably more powerful than the visualization, because actually visualizing something without any feeling behind it isn't really that potent. But if you are unable to visualize something in your mind's eye or image, make the image or the picture, that's okay. As long as you can feel it happening, you're there.
Great advice. So what's been the most interesting or surprising thing that has happened to you in your career, Marilyn?
Well, we have two careers here. I'm going to say that the most interesting, the most surprising thing that happened was the fact that I realized that my business, my 20-year career as a special event professional, was really my schoolhouse to learn these laws. I really believe that the universe gave me that business. My soul created or attracted that business so that I would learn, that was the avenue that I was to learn these laws so that I would one day teach others. And the most surprising part was that I had never planned to teach. I didn't know. I'd always loved these laws. It was always the most important thing in my life, was my passion for the laws of life. But I was not a minister. I wasn't educated as far as being a coach or for training people. And to find that out of the blue, a doors would open and I would suddenly be teaching a prosperity program and attracting people from all over the world is absolutely amazing to me. I'm not surprised because I know how these laws work, but I'm amazed because it's like a whole second career that I didn't know that's where my gifts really would lie. And it just, that was in a sense of interesting, surprising, and just amazing to me that I've taken what I've learned and turned it into a whole second career at this phase of my life, where for 20 years I was servicing big corporations, and now I'm affecting someone's life personally, affecting people's lives. That is so gratifying. That's from the heart. That gives a whole new meaning to life.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, you obviously were building the credibility that you needed to practice or to share these laws with the universe,
mm-hmm.
For those who are open to it. And by practicing them in your first life and applying those principles and showing how you were able to achieve the kind of, I want to say success, but achieve the kind of goals that you set out to achieve as you achieve them, I think that in itself is testimony to anybody who is looking not only for a mentor or a guide or a teacher or a coach to help them learn these principles. It also shows that if it can happen to someone who wasn't even really planning that to happen, in other words, how your life has evolved, you know, it can happen to anybody. So you're an inspiration. You're a role model to a lot of people, I'm sure.
Thank you.
So tell us about the work you do now, Marilyn.
Well, 4 years ago, again, through that inner prompting and suggestions from a couple of important, respected people in my life, and this is all in my memoir, by the way, and in full detail, I started teaching a program called Feel Free to Prosper. And it just evolved. It's the same kind of organic, spontaneous evolution where one thing led to another. And here I am now the teacher. And my students are very important to me. I've never done anything in my life, with all the excitement of what we shared tonight about the publicity and about my carving out a career, this is absolutely the most important thing of my entire life, the work that I'm doing. And there's no question about that. I asked the universe when I began 4 years ago, I said, if I'm really supposed to teach these principles, then please give me a way to teach them so that others can grasp simply what took me 30 years to learn. And I was guided to a series of lessons, and of course the mentoring came into play, and just the program itself is different in that it creates a response in the subconscious so quickly that my average student, within a couple of weeks, often right away, but the average over the years has been 2 weeks, and everything changes. They start attracting unexpected income and clients, and amazing things start happening. And I knew I was onto something very early. If I wasn't getting those results, I wouldn't keep doing it. But every time I get a letter, every time someone posts a result, every time I see it working, I know that beyond a doubt I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm in the place that I'm supposed to be, the right place at the right time right now. So that's what I'm doing, and I love doing it, and I will continue as long as people can benefit and these principles are related to help others. I will continue doing it.
So you are teaching the Feel Free to Prosper program. How do you do that? Do you do it online? Do you do it through telecoaching? Do you do it in person? Tell us a little bit more about how your program works.
Well,
I think our listeners are very interested.
I have, for the last 4 years, been teaching. The way I created an international following was because I've been teaching through teleclass. And, you know, when I got on the Internet 4 years ago, I didn't know what a teleclass was. This is all, many of you I know are a lot more technologically advanced than I was. And this is a whole new world. It was like a Disneyland or something to a child. But everything just kind of spontaneously evolved. It started out where I was selling lessons, and the testimonials are pouring in. And at one point, that inner voice, the universe spoke to me and said, stop selling lessons. They're too valuable. And that's when I started doing the mentoring, because I was helping my students anyway, my lesson students. I seemed to be learning to mentor as I was doing it. And the next thing I know, I was doing private mentoring, and then the groups evolved from that. I said, I wonder if this will work in a group, and that's where the teleclasses came in. And so all of the above. And I also have recorded programs of the groups that I've done, so the best of the best is there for posterity, and it's there, and you know, people can buy the recorded versions, which is just like being on a teleclass or in a class, or they could join one of my private telephone groups. In January, just this year, I had decided, this is another example of the process of how it works, I decided, you know, I really miss dealing with people in person. I love my students. I have worldwide friends and students, and this is so great. This is wonderful that there are no boundaries these days. We live in such a wonderful age. And yet I felt that I wanted to start doing something face-to-face. So the first thing that happened, Sotheby's Realty asked me to come speak. I ended up mentoring some of their agents, and then I was able to get the Beverly Hills Country Club. I'm not a member, but they offered me their beautiful Griffin Room to do programs, you know, independently. They weren't promoting them. I was just able to rent the space. So I started doing Evenings of Prosperity here in Los Angeles. And I haven't done a lot still as far as local live programs. I seem to still gravitate towards the no boundaries, no geographical limitations, and dealing with people on the telephone and through teleclass. It just opens the world more to me. But I plan to do some more in-person speaking and teaching. And I'm just kind of letting it evolve, see what comes next.
Well, obviously it gives you a more well-rounded perspective too when you're teaching. Teaching in person obviously is much different than teaching on the phone in terms of the dynamics, but the information is the same, basically.
And in person,
and how you're, you know, the what you're sharing with your students is the same, and probably it's more interesting on the phone in some ways because you are touching so many lives, so many places. You know,
you're right. It's a different dynamic. In person, I feel I need to feed them though.
Right.
On the phone, what was supposed to be an hour and a half to 2 hours at Beverly Hills Country Club turned into 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Nobody wanted to leave. Yeah. And then we had a break, and I had ordered some light food buffet. So it was a different dynamic dealing with local people. It's all the same. It just depends on the venue that's more comfortable. I think these days people have gotten so caught up with the rush of life and the busyness and multitasking or multi-living that I think being able to sit back, put your feet up, and get on the phone and not have to get dressed and go somewhere and sit for a few hours, I kind of feel that's a more comfortable level for a lot of people. So I think the teleclass is the best thing that happened since the debit card. You know?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, you know, teleclasses are great. This is kind of the summit. You're doing a summit with all of these important experts. Not me, but all of the experts.
Everybody's important. My mother used to tell me, Marilyn, either everybody in life is important or nobody is. So I've always believed in the philosophy that everybody is. And it's been good to me because that's how you treat people. You know? And so everybody's important. Everybody has a gift. I mean, if you think about the repertoire of the Women's Media Summit and the diversity, and I mean, I had one speaker from UK, and we have one next week from Ireland, and I'm sorry, from Germany, and next week is from Ireland, and we have you from LA. We have them from all over the United States, Canada.
That's what I mean.
Isn't that amazing? It is. I would much prefer to do this than the stuff in person, just because you can affect so many different people around the world. And you know that whole not the snowball, butterfly effect, I think it's what it's called. You know,
yeah.
where the butterfly just goes from city to city and state to state and country to country, and pretty soon the whole world is affected. And it's just amazing. So I love this whole genre of, as you said, the teleclass, the webinars, all of these are just wonderful.
Well, and the point I was also making is that you can attract all of these experts that maybe wouldn't be able to attend if you did it live.
Oh,
the quality of professional that you get in these industries, that I think it gives them a lot more room, and you have a better chance of getting these speakers you want just from sheer convenience of doing it this way. So
we make it easy as we can, and I think that people appreciate that. So you're absolutely right. And one day we'll have to say, oh, we're sold out. That's what I'm visualizing next, Marilyn.
What do you mean one day? When was I telling you earlier? What is this one day?
Yeah.
It's only now.
Soon. Yeah.
So the next summit, your assignment is the next summit. Be there now. We are sold out.
Exactly. Well, we're pretty close, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, the next one will be sold out.
This has just been a wonderful. In fact, I get so excited, I keep adding people to the list of people to interview, and people are going, well, there was originally 13, because that's my lucky number, and so now we're up to 16. Well, actually, we're up to 16. You're my 16th interview, Marilyn, and then we have 5 more next week. So, you know, it's just really exciting, because you're right. There are so many people you can tap into that you can't if it's live. You can't change a live event like that. You can, but it's much more difficult and costly and all of that. So this is nice because you can just keep adding to it and, you know, taking from it and changing. I love the fact that, you know, unfortunately you were ill last week and weren't able to attend, and so gracious to reschedule. And, you know, that's what makes this such a perfect venue, because we can still have you and learn from you, you know. So thank you.
I wasn't ill, but you wouldn't have heard anything but a very minor squeak.
It was unfortunately
from the fires here. I think it was very dry humidity. Our humidity was down to, I don't know, 8%. It was ridiculously low. And for some reason, I just took my voice away. So I'm still a bit hoarse, but it's fine. But, yeah, it's quite an experience. So
let's talk a little bit about the contest that you're inviting our guests to participate in. Can you tell us about that? Because I know we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure we have time for our listeners to contact you and all of that.
Well, the contest was just a little fun thing. I had once put it on my network, and I pulled it up, and I adapted it to this. And I thought it would be something different, something fun, and matching these really notable parties I had done over the years with the locations that we booked for these corporations or movie stars or whatever. And I just thought it might be something distracting, something a little bit of diversion to see if you could match. I have put clues. They're little clever clues so you could match them up, and I have some pretty good prizes there. Feel Free to Prosper program. Our top prize is a private mentoring session with me. So you might want to take a look and See if you want to have fun doing that. And so you'll get a little inside look at the kind of some of the parties I did.
So tell us how we can attend the contest or participate in the contest, and how long the contest lasts, because I'll go ahead and put a post on the blog tomorrow about it, and so people will know all about that.
The only way that I know to participate is in your workbook from the conference. It's right there, and the link is in the conference workbook.
Great.
And I said I would leave it open till October 31st for all entries.
That's tomorrow.
And the email's in there. The contact information is in there.
All right.
So it's right in your workbook.
Well, let's hope we have a few winners. You can tell me all about it, and we can post the winners on the blog, too.
There's a grand prize, first prize, and then the second prize. And
wonderful.
I just think it'd be fun. I just think it'd give you a little inside look into the events business and the kind of things I did here in Los Angeles is a pretty special city. You have a lot of media here, and you have the entertainment industry. So we have a lot of special locations, and special clients, and it's looking back again, it was. It looks very glamorous to a lot of people, and I suppose it is. Except it's really a job. It's a job when you're doing it. But to the outside world, it's, you know, doing Billy Crystal's daughter's bat mitzvah or Elizabeth Taylor's, you know, press party for Passion for Men. I mean, it is pretty glamorous when you say it. But it was a job. Anybody who wants to be in the special events industry, well, good luck to you. It's a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a lot of responsibility. It's fun. A lot of people want to be want to become event planners. But it's not all, you know, it's not all just glamorous. It's behind the scenes.
It's very hard work.
Responsibility.
It's responsibility. A lot of hard work. I have a lot. I'm in the floral business in my other job, and I can tell you that I work with a lot of event planners. I much prefer to do just the decor than have the responsibility of the whole thing, because it is. You're having to, you have to be very good with people. You have to coordinate a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I much prefer to coordinate the online events. It's a lot more fun for me.
I'll tell you a secret. My talent. Here was my real talent. Aside from making the universe my friend, guiding me, my real talent in that industry was that I knew the talent to hire. See, I knew all the good people like you, all the good vendors to hire. And you're only, as an event professional, you're only as good as your vendors. Now, as a location company, I booked the locations, but I also produced the events. I mean, it evolved into that. And you're only as good as your vendors, as your location,
oh,
as the people you're dealing with. So the real secret is to find the responsible vendors, the people who care about your business. Yeah.
Exactly. And care about the customers.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm the event. I'm only as good as my knowledge and my ability to communicate that knowledge to others.
So what's next for you, Marilyn?
Well, what's next? Well, my memoir, my story, my following had asked me, we know that you're using these principles, you know, in your business, because Campbell Soup was my biggest client, came right after I started Feel Free to Prosper. So for the last 3 years, they were a huge client, and I booked the castle that you see on my website, and also the island and the Hollywood Mansions, the Caribbean island. They were a big client, and yet people want to know, how did you start your business? Did you use these prosperity principles to start your business back 20 years ago? So I started writing that on my network. I started to write posts on my network forum on the Feel Free to Prosper network. And again, I didn't know where I was going with it. I just wanted to tell the story. And a few posts into, let's see, about three posts, an agent showed up for another reason, but it turned out 8 months later, 55,000 words later, and a manuscript, converting my story to manuscript, he signed me. That was recently, and he has submitted the memoir to major publishers. So now we're going to see what's going to happen. And if a book is published, he has in the contract 20-city tour and Today Show and all of that. So this is still in the germinating stage. And we'll
I hope you
happens.
Come to Florida. Is that on your list?
Well, I'll make sure I'll make it part of my contract.
Good.
Well, even if it's New York, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to Florida. So
there you go. Well, if you come to Miami or Fort Lauderdale, we'll have a nice party for you.
Well, thank you.
I shouldn't say if. When you come.
When. I know. The
I'm going to start manifesting that. So it happens as soon as that book is published.
Well, that's why Heidi invited me to speak at her writing summit, which was all these experts and professionals, industry professionals. And just because I attracted an agent out of the blue using these principles, she felt it was worthy of of sharing. But that was kind of exciting. And again, it's that's all fairly recent. He signed me a couple of months ago and a few months ago. And that could make a very big difference for Feel Free to Prosper. And I'm in the mode of just evolving right now and seeing what is next for Feel Free to Prosper. Do I to reach a larger audience? I cannot say I know exactly what I want to do because it's been really just flowing nicely for the past 4 years, but I'm open to all possibilities.
Marilyn, it's just been wonderful. I don't know if anybody on the phone line has any questions or in the room, but if you do, I haven't seen any. It sounds like people are just so enthralled with your story. But if anybody on the phone line has any questions, now is the time to ask Marilyn, and then Marilyn will end with you giving us your contact information, if that's
great.
Good.
Great.
So we'll wait. Sometimes people are just, they've just had so much information, they think about it later.
Mm-hmm. I do hope that you'll all go visit the Feel Free to Prosper Network and read the story, because I promise you, it's free on the network. It's still there. That's the original form. The manuscript, of course, it was streamlined and professionally polished. But the story on the forum, it's fun to read with the pictures and everyone's comments. I promise you, you will look at your business and you'll look at your life in an entirely new way. You'll be really inspired, because it really chronicles my journey of that 20 years of how that guidance system and the things that happened, even writing about it and looking back, it just seems like magic. But it shows you what can happen if you'll just do the homework, as Dr. Murphy says. Do the homework, you'll get the results.
Yeah. And I'll make sure that I post that on the blog, and when I send the follow-up message tomorrow, I'll let everybody know that tomorrow's the deadline for the contest.
Mm-hmm.
On the phone line, anybody have any questions? Marilyn, how can everybody get how can we contact you? How can our listeners contact you?
The website that you see that Heidi has up is from the business that we talked about tonight, but you can reach me that way, or you can reach me on the Feel Free to Prosper website, which is www.feelfreetoprosper.com, and I think you'll love that website. It's got a lot of wisdom, a lot of information. Or you can write to me at Marilyn@feelfreetoprosper.com. And the RISE network that Heidi had given you earlier, it's the Feel Free to Prosper network on RISE.com. It's HTTP and then prosper-network.rise.com. That one's a little bit different, so.
And I'll make sure that I post the exact link for those who didn't quite get it.
Oh, okay, good.
Marilyn,
Heidi,
this is Sheila. I came in unfortunately late, and I'm so disappointed. But
glad you're here, and you'll listen to it tomorrow. Go ahead, Sheila.
What was the site you had on the in the room? The Marilyn Janet locations, or something?
Yeah, that's MarilynJanetLocations.com, and that really relates to the business that we talked about, my 20-year business.
Right, okay.
And actually, that's a newly designed website. I actually decided last summer that I was leaving the business. I felt it's a child that was born, it had matured, it grew up, and it's time to let it go. And I did not have a website developed for Marilyn Janet Locations. I told Campbell I wasn't going to do any more of their promotions. I had done 6 of them. And I had always had a beautiful presentation package for Marilyn Janet Locations. It was very expensive, and it was really beautiful. But since I was leaving the business, I didn't think I needed a website. So I had a landing page in the domain. And then just a couple of weeks ago, there was a client that called that was a wealthy client called. It was an offer I couldn't refuse, and my wonderful web designer, Susan, I just asked her to put a few pictures on a web page, and that's what she came up with.
Wow,
this
beautiful
website that I was floored. I knew she was talented, but I didn't know she was that creative. So 20 years later, leaving the business, somehow it tells me that the universe does not want me to let go yet of Marilyn Janae locations. There's still a job for Marilyn Janae locations, or Susan wouldn't have done that. She created that practically overnight in 3 days. So it's not even the full website. We actually made those locations, you see, which are so beautiful. If you really want to start dreaming a bit about prosperity and abundance, just go look at the locations. But she actually made that to present. Those are locations I presented to that client. And wouldn't you know that right after she did that, within 24 hours on Rise, there was a woman who connected with me that actually is a meeting planner, and she's with a company that does hire outsources location, you know, for locations to other companies and meeting places. So it looks like we may be doing some business. So,
you know, it's
funny,
interesting. You speak of how you thought you were finished, but I can hear your passion and excitement is coming across.
You think so?
In your voice now, absolutely.
Maybe.
Do you agree, Heidi?
It's just a child that isn't has to come back to visit once in a while. So maybe it's so much a part of my spirit that, and you know, I just kind of miss a little bit the business roots. I love dealing with people personally. I love teaching these principles. But, you know, 20 years is a long time in the business world, and so maybe there's still some pull there. Did you have a particular question that I can answer or help you with, Sheila?
No, I'm real bummed out. I wasn't able to make your call last week, not that I was glad you couldn't make it, but...
Wait a minute. You know, is this Sheila, the photographer?
Yes. Sheila Finkelstein.
Yes, hi. Yes, on from Rise a week ago. Oh, you'll listen to it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, that's Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Yeah, hi. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm glad I caught, you know, like about half hour of this, so that was great. And I had heard you. I was inspired by you when Heidi interviewed you last time.
Well, thank you.
Looking forward to this. I was sitting in the doctor's office then.
That's a good. See, Heidi. See, if it was alive, it was a live summit. They couldn't be sitting in their doctor's offices
and
listening.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Well, it is live. It's just not live and in person. It's live on the phone.
That's what I meant, yes.
You know, but I totally agree with you. That's the beauty of this type of venue is Sheila is the perfect poster child for anybody who wants to attend an event like this just about anywhere. I know that she has taken her phone with her and listened to us at the doctor's office, walking her, I think taking a walk, going to the grocery store, and all of that. So, Sheila, thank you very
including
much.
Including exercising.
Exercise, yeah.
Oh, exercising, too. Yeah, I guess.
And
she's
I think the thing here is
I
want to see what the two of you cook up in your events thing. There's probably something for Heidi and you together in.
There you go.
That's an interesting. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Sounds like she planted a seed. Well, I'll come out to L.A. if you need me. I'd love to. Oh, goodness.
I might get something. Who knows? With this wonderful global site that Susan created, we might get a call for something in Florida. You know, maybe I'll have to hand it over to you.
There
I figured
you
what
I'll
I would do is for the time-consuming events, if I do get calls for convention events, I'll probably farm some of it out. I'll pick the ones that I want to do personally. What I don't want to do is I realize that maybe this was the answer here. The real, it wasn't for me to totally let go of that business, but I don't want anything to distract me from what my life purpose is, which is teaching these principles. And that's the important thing. So if I could have Marilyn Janae locations as part of my life, but it doesn't become the distraction, I find a way to, you know, subcontract or do whatever I need to do to make sure that I don't forget my purpose here, because this is too important to me. This work is just everything to me. And it has to be because there were big chunks of money coming. Campbell Soup, you know how much they spent? By the third promotion we did for them, they had spent, it was in Promo Magazine, which is a big marketing, I guess the Bible of the marketing industry. And a student had sent it to me. By the third promotion, we did Mansion, Castle in England, and the Island. They had spent $450 million for these promotions.
Wow.
And then Canada called me, Campbell's Canada, and I had to copy everything for them. They wanted to do everything the U.S. did. So I had done six of those by last summer. So I was making some you know, nice, it was a nice cushion. It was wonderful, and I'm so grateful that while I was growing Feel Free to Prosper, I had that cushion of that income. But for me to say to Campbell's no more, you have to understand how important this work is for me to want to let go of something like that.
Wow.
And I said to myself, okay. I said, if I what I need to do is turn Feel Free to Prosper into the same, you know, financial level that my corporate business was. It was doing well. Feel Free to Prosper did very well for these years, but at the same time, I did not want the other business to overshadow what I was doing here. So yes, I think if we do depend on multiple streams of income, if we do different things in life, I think we just need to get clear on our priorities so we can adjust our businesses in alignment with our values and our priority, our priorities. That, am I expressing that correctly?
You are. And Marilyn, it is always a pleasure to chat with you, and it's always wonderful when I hear from Sheila. So thank you, Sheila, for participating.
Thank you for piping in here, Sheila. And I do hope you'll, you know, hear the recording, the rest of it on the recording, if you'd like.
I'm actually going to upload it tonight. And you know what? I've got all now, except yours, all of them are uploaded. So tomorrow everybody will finally get this link that I've been, I won't tell you all that on the tape, but it's been a challenge. And I did it all myself, and I'm very excited. And Sheila's helped as well, because she helped record a couple of the sessions that we were having trouble with. So Sheila, a double thank you to you. You're the best.
Well, I'm hiding. Thank you.
I'm very much looking forward to hearing I couldn't attend a lot of the calls, but I definitely want to hear them. I'm now interested. 20 years later, I'm really interested in learning about the media. It's
well,
about
know,
time.
If for,
the
if
whole
for
different.
Else, you meet some interesting people and you learn some really interesting, whether you do it yourself or not, learning it is interesting, because then you can say, if when you're ready to hire somebody, you know exactly what it is you want them to do for you. Because sometimes we go to a media professional or marketing professional or publicist, and we have no idea what we want. How can we articulate that to them?
That's a really good point.
You can at least say, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. And then you can save yourself a lot of time, effort, and heartache. So that's what my big goal is for this, is, you know, to save people money and help them make money in the process.
Well, you're doing an excellent service to a lot of businesses, both new fledgling businesses and established businesses. Just the information that you put into one summit is just incredible.
Thank you.
The amount of knowledge and the wisdom, the expertise that you gather together, and then you give that free workbook afterwards. Oh, telling
you,
Heidi. It's
mind-blowing.
It is.
Well, I'll tell you,
monumental.
It never happened without the people like you, Marilyn. So again, I just wanted to say thank you to Marilyn Janae from Marilyn Janae Locations and feelfreetoprosper.com. You can find Marilyn online at either of those locations, and be sure and check out her websites. And if you feel the urge, please drop her a line and tell her how much you enjoyed this session, because I'm sure that you will, and I know I did. Marilyn, it has just been wonderful. You know, I know our time is up formally, and I just wanted to say thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I know you have another session coming up. And
I have small private groups, and we're about to begin. They're waiting.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Heidi. It was my pleasure, my honor to be invited to be here.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Bye, Marilyn.
Bye, Sheila.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye, Sheila. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.